Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Where was I? Oh, I was walking into church early one Sunday morning, and some folks were following me. This was not the church that I serve full time, but some folks were following me, and they were coming into the narthex of this church, and they were dressed casually. They were dressed like they'd just been to a soccer game, and I could tell because one of the kids was still in their soccer uniform. And they said, "Sorry for the attire." That's what they said. And I said, "Look, if I had my choice, this is how I would dress on Sunday morning too. I would be casually dressed. I do have my choice 6 days a week, and that's exactly how I dress, very, very casually." Of course, it's not just how one dresses. It's about the whole tone of Sunday morning. You can come dressed however you want, but there's something going on, and it's noted by a New York Times column that's talking about a new survey about the rise of informality in church. It says church is more formal, more informal, like society, study finds. That's not big news. The question is, what does it mean? Joining us to talk about this new survey on the rise of informality in worship on this Monday afternoon, September the 15th, Pastor David Peterson. He's a regular guest. He's pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
How would you summarize the survey that talks about informality in church?
I would say you could say American religious communities look a lot like all other American communities. It's almost a meaningless survey that they've done. What they've done is they've looked at American religion according to people who gather together for corporate worship, so congregations. But they don't. It's not limited to Christian congregations, and it's certainly not limited to conservative. So it turns out it's just this huge swath of America, and it turns out to be very representative and track pretty well perfectly with the rest of America. I don't know that the results would be any different in this report if they would have done a survey of Little League clubs or the Chambers of Commerce or any other group you could pick out to be representative.
So they could have just as easily looked at the local student council meeting or the local church board of education meeting or city council meeting.
I think that's right. I think that if that's what you're doing, you're going to find, you know, representative. So it doesn't really tell us anything. It turns out that it's just as you said, America has gotten less formal in its attire and in its attitudes and its manners, and that's carried over to the majority of worship. But just like there's still people that show up in bow ties, even though in broad strokes, you know, things have got more informal, there still are, of course, churches also where this isn't the rule.
Okay, so what we're noting here is that there probably was a day and age when a man would not leave the house without his hat on, and maybe even, you know, fully dressed in a suit and tie. He wouldn't be loosening his tie in public. It just looked sloppy to people. Their sensibilities were probably more finely honed than ours today. And nowadays, it's not unusual to see people go to places of rather prestigious business dressed as people would a generation ago on casual Friday.
That's right. Or another great example is airline travel, where people used to really dress up for airline travel or to travel in general, and now it's the opposite. People usually dress down for airline travel. So that just carries over in general to worship services.
Now, this is the part of this survey and of the treatment of in the New York Times that I'm still kind of hung up on, and I don't know what to think about it. So I wonder what you think. The idea of formality. What was it, to me, Sunday morning in a Christian church, the formality there has an entirely different purpose than going out to eat. It's related, but I think it's an entirely different purpose than going out to eat or dressing up to go to, say, a black tie event or something like that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's right. And I think that for us, these things are very subjective. What is the proper level and so forth? But for Lutherans, it really comes to Luther's explanation of the sacrament of the altar when he says, when he talks about preparing for it, and he teaches us that bodily preparation and fasting are certainly a fine outward training, but he is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So the real preparation is faith. That's what matters, to understand and believe that what is happening here, what God has promised in his word, that he's present for us in his risen body and blood, that we're standing in the presence of the Almighty God who's taken on our flesh in order to have it killed in our place and to raise it up now to be food for us, that in face of this awesome thing, we ought to believe this is real. That's the primary thing. But Luther says bodily fasting and bodily preparation are certainly a fine outward training. And the reality is, if we believe that, if we believe we're actually standing or kneeling in the presence of God himself, who's doing this incredible thing for us, it will cause us to act in certain ways. That's going to take on some bodily stuff. I always teach our people, because we don't do a whole lot of fasting and bodily preparation. That's strange language to us. But one of the ways that we do, actually, is by the clothes that we wear. And most of our people, and I think this is probably pretty true across Christianity, even in America, think on Sunday morning before they come to church about what they're going to wear. And that's a bodily preparation. It's an outward training. It's a thought about, maybe I don't want to wear my Harley Davidson T-shirt to the altar. Maybe I do. Maybe it's the nicest thing I've got, and I think it's the most respectful, and it's the thing. But there's a certain thought process that this is a deliberate action that I'm taking, and I'm preparing for it. I think most people, if they were going to go on a date, would think a little bit about what their clothing was going to look like, or how they were going to, what it was going to say about them. So formality is kind of a funny word. I think the better word than formality would be recognizing that we're engaged in a serious enterprise. We're not going to see Guardians of the Galaxy. We're not going to be entertained. We're going into the presence of God, and we got to take that. Most of us are going to take that at least as seriously as we would if we were going out on a date.
That date analogy, I think, is important because it's not just about how am I going to look, but and it goes beyond mere attire. It goes into behavior, too.
Right.
But I think the analogy there still holds up, even pressed to that next level, and that is, what am I saying to the other person, my date, my spouse, about what I think of them by how I both present myself and behave?
Right. Do I brush my teeth? Do I prepare for this date? And if it's an important date, if it matters, there's going to be some seriousness given to it, attention given to it. The report, we're on this clothing thing. The report itself, interestingly, was not measuring formality and informality on the basis of what people were wearing.
What was it measuring?
It has the use of drums, dancing, raising of hands for praise, projecting equipment, so screens, how much time they spent greeting one another and welcoming one another, and speaking in tongues. And then those are the things that the report noticed were all on the increase. And I thought it was really interesting that those things are where they said that informality has entered into, along with the decrease of singing by a choir in favor of singing by a soloist, and the decrease of written programs.
Hmm.
So the formality as measured by by the survey, and as picked up in the New York Times, was really an increase of evangelical American practices. And not a word was said about attire or by attitude, but actually by what they did and what they considered to be worship. And, of course, all of those things really, when you think about it, when we look at what the way that they measured this, and I don't know who coached them in this, but, of course, these are all the sorts of things you could expect to see in a nightclub. The things that you'd expect to see in a nightclub have increased on Sunday morning, and the things that you would expect to see in a Christian church have decreased. And their terminology for that in the report was informality.
Pastor David Peterson is our guest. When we come back 10 more minutes with him, we're talking about a new survey on the rise of informality in worship. There's some other things that have been noted, trends that have been noted by the story there in the New York Times. And we'll talk about them when we come back. Stay tuned.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a new survey on the rise of informality. Actually, kind of the rise of, as Pastor Peterson has pointed out, the rise of things that you might expect to see in your average nightclub in worship. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. You will find a link to Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. There are a couple things that are counted as trends in the story in the New York Times, the first one being ethnic diversity. What are your thoughts there?
I just think it's stupid. Who cares? It just means that we reflect the community around us. The churches in Mexico tend to be predominantly Hispanic. The churches in Africa tend to be predominantly African. And as America has got more ethnically diverse, so have the churches. We've never been a white church or defined ourselves in that way. That's shocking to the New York Times, but I don't think it's shocking to Christianity.
So in other words, they went in expecting to see nothing but kind of white, urban or suburbanite or Midwest kind of people in there, and they found other ethnic backgrounds and thought it was noteworthy.
Right.
Okay. a greater acceptance of homosexuality. Where does that fit in?
Well, that's really interesting because the it's a complicated thing. Of course, the United States has gone that way, and so it's no surprise in a sense that when you take a broad swath of Americans, they follow the trend. What is interesting is that the conservative Protestant churches and the Catholic Church has actually gotten less tolerant from the New York Times perspective, and the conservative Protestant churches have towed the line, and particularly in that they have not moved at all in allowing or tolerating homosexual clergy and other leaders. The big change has been that what the report is calling black Protestants, white liberals, and non-Christians, they've gone extremely to promoting and accepting them. And I think the interesting thing there is that it turns out that there are ethnically diverse communities that reflect their communities that are not defined by their ethnicity. They're just a reflection of the community, that actually stick to what the Bible says and have that defined doctrine. And it turns out those congregations, you know, are saying, no, we're not changing on this. We're not going with the trend of American popular opinion. We're still going to have the Bible tell us what doctrine is. What, of course, is sad is that it should be no surprise, non-Christians don't care what the Bible says. It's pretty sad that white liberals don't care what the Bible says and are driven more by cultural pressure. It's also very sad that what is identified as black churches are also being driven by that. And I suspect that, I don't have the full data, the report doesn't give all of the data, but I suspect the problem there is that what's being called a black church is that they identify themselves according to their ethnicity and not according to the scriptures. They're not a Christian community, they're an ethnic community, and therefore they move along with culture. That's the problem with being a white church or a black church. It doesn't matter what else you are. You're not defined by what God has given. But the sort of good news in terms of that there are these stalwart religious communities, these Christian communities, that are still holding to the scriptures, despite the heavy cultural pressure.
One of the other things that was noted as a trend was congregational size. What was noted there?
Yeah, and I think this is certainly pairs with my experience. It turns out that congregations are getting smaller, and yet at the same and or bigger. That is, that there are fewer congregations, or the congregations are getting smaller, but we're getting a concentration. We've got the average surveyed person goes to a big church, an average attendance of 400 or more. But the median attendance at these congregations is less than 75. So we've got kind of Christians, it's this broad swath. Religious communities are tending to flock to mega churches, cult of personality type things. Again, though, that's very American cultural. That's what happens with Hollywood celebrities. You know, Joel Osteen and whoever these mega people are celebrity-type people, and they have these huge followings. So that's kind of sad news in a way, that small familial communities are kind of fading away in America.
What did the broader trends that were being noted by the survey, what did they note about denominational affiliation?
They wanted to say denominational affiliation is weakening, but their only point of evidence for that is that denominational giving is down. So it turned out that still almost all the congregations, including the non-Christian ones, are affiliated with a larger national group and even had things like somebody from that group come and speak to them or sent their members to meetings of that group. So there was definitely a connection and no kind of weakening except in giving. And that's gone down from 8% in 1998 on average to 4%. And there was an increase, though, slight, of churches that had no affiliation at all. That tended to be those big giant churches. So those big giant churches with the celebrity guy they're not affiliated with anybody else, or they're not affiliated at least with a denomination.
With only a minute here, David, do you think that, say, the average pastor of a congregation that exceeds 2,000 on a attendance on a weekend, that would be a megachurch pastor, you think he might be a little bit surprised to find out that his church has grown perhaps more because of outside cultural trends toward consolidating in big groups than simply his fantastic charisma and whatever powers he supposes he possesses to grow the kingdom of God? About a minute here.
Maybe. He might be surprised, but he might also just simply say, of course, I knew that, and I was clever enough to see it, and to use it to my advantage or to the advantage of the gospel, right? I mean, he's probably going to think that he's rightly using his resources and bringing these things together. But, I mean, what about all of these passages that were not supposed to be of the world?
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. David, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a series with Pastor Paul McCain on the small called articles. This is the lesser known, kind of, it falls there before the catechisms and the Lutheran confessions, but it does come entirely from the pen of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. He's writing it in hope. If you look at the introduction, he says, this was what we would have liked to have said at a church council had one been held, but one wasn't. What did he put in there? He says, these are the things upon which we cannot be moved. We'll study the small called articles and start studying them with Pastor Paul McCain tomorrow on Issues Etc. We will also discuss Galatians chapters 1 and 2 in our ongoing series this week with Dr. Andrew Doss, author of the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Galatians. We can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't say, we're standing here as a beacon in the culture, and we're standing as a bulwark against the culture, but we're going to ride the wave of the culture too. You can't do both of those things. You can't be the rock against which the culture is breaking and the surfer who rides the waves breaking against the rock. It's one or the other. Of course, we will watch these things come and go. We will watch formality rise or fall. The real question here is, what's going on, not in general religious communities, but what is the church going to continue to confess in everything that it does and everything that it says? If it ceases to confess Christ and Him crucified, well, it ceases to be the church and just becomes another part of the culture. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Is the Lord's Day sanctified by man's work or man's rest? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details former Baptist minister Dennis McFadden's journey to the objectivity of the Lutheran Confession of Faith. The free Issues Etc. journal.